This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruchim Abam, welcome everyone to the first year of the new season, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Parshas Bereishis. Tonight's year, sponsored by our good friend, Rav Gedalia Schwartz, and I say our good friend, I mean many of the people who are joining in the shiurim are the beneficiary of Gedalia's hard work. He sends out the recordings to whether it's the Mishnah Bura or the Daf HaShavua or the Parsha Shurim or Yom Tovim. So we thank Rav Gedalia for his wonderful work, as well as for sponsoring tonight's shiur and procuring the one of the Svarim for tonight, namely the Zois Yaakov, Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein. So we're Mevarach Rav Gedalia. Continued Bracha V'Hatzlacha Ad Bias Gal Tzedek. Bereishis Bara Elokim. In the beginning, God created. So what's interesting is God has a number of names, most notably Shem Havaya, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And one would have expected that in the opening pitch, you know, in the first pitch, it would say Bereishis Bara Havaya, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. No, Bereishis Bara Elokim, which we know is Midas Hadin. So apparently, the world somehow was created with Elokim, Midas Hadin. On the other hand, a little bit later on, it says, Eled toldos hashamayim v'ha'aretz v'hibaram. These are the products of the heaven and earth when he created them. B'yoyim asois Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. On the day that Hashem Elokim made the earth and the heavens. So when it went into effect, it says that God created the earth and the heavens. There it says Hashem Elokim. There Havaya is used. In fact, that's the first time the Shema Havaya appears in the Chumash. So Haloi Dover, who, what is the reason why in the beginning of the Chumash it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, and a parak and change later it says Hashem Elokim. So Rashi, we could point out further that in Pasuk Aleph it says Shamayim Va'aretz, and in Parak Beis Pasuk Dalet it says Asajim Kem Eretz V'Shamayim. So what was created first, heaven or earth? In Pasuk Aleph it says first the Shamayim. Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet it says Eretz the Shamayim. First Eretz. So we come to Rashi in the first Pasuk in Bereishis. A well-known Rashi. If you know any Rashis, you've got to know the Rashis in the opening Pasuk. Rashi says, Bara Lekim V'loi Amar Bara Hashem. It does not say Hashem created. Shebetchila Allah B'machshava L'Broisa B'midas Adin. At first, God's plan was to create the world with Midas Hadin. V'ra, and he saw She'ein Olam Miskayim. He saw the world cannot exist. God wanted to create the world with Midas Hadin, but he saw the world cannot exist. V'hikdim Midas Rachamim V'shitfal Midas Hadin. So he made a partnership. He split Midas Rachamim with Midas Hadin. And that's why, although in Pasuk Aleph it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, in Parak Beis, it says, "I know the chesed b'yoyim asoyis Hashem alekim eretz v'shamayim." So God wanted to create the world with midas hadin, but He saw the world would not exist, and He therefore made a partnership. Rashi's medayik from the pasuk. Pasuk Aleph it says, "Elokim, just," which is midas hadin, and then it says Hashem alekim. By the way, Rashi's quoting, I believe, one of the midrashim. Okay. So there are a number of questions here. Aside from why in the beginning does it say Shemayim and then Aretz and then say Eretz and then Shemayim? And besides for the question of who cares what God wanted to do, let's get down to what He did. Who cares what He wanted to do? Well, my nafkamina, what He wanted to do. Right? Imagine you go home and I wanted to buy you a birthday present. Shkoyach. Thank you very much. Right? I wanted to do the X, Y, and Z. When somebody says what they wanted to do, you know, Meichel Tov is what you wanted to do, you know. Why do I need to know what God wanted to do? He didn't do it. So that's the question of the Shalach HaKadosh that we're going to deal with. Another question is, when God made a partnership of Din and Rachamim, why was He first Makdim Rachamim and then Din? That's a question we're going to deal with in the Taras Chaim. But the question that plagued me was, why did God want to create the world, B'midas Hadin? I thought God is a marachamon, avinu av harachamon, right? You know that song. God is merciful. I have a rabba of Tanu Hashem lekeinu chemlo gedol v'samadoch. Right? Hashem is a marachim. Don't we say oilam chesed yibana? The world was created for kindness. Didn't God create the world for kindness? I mean, by the way, what is the kindness? The kindness is that we should eat breakfast, we should eat lunch, we should eat supper, we should have clothing, we should be able to breathe, we should be able to listen, we should be able to see, we should be able to talk. These are all kindnesses. We should have family, we should have all the benefits of life. These are the Olam Chesed Yibane, but the ultimate blessing that God wanted to bestow upon us is Olam Haba. God created us for Olam Haba. So why did God want to create the world? B'midas Adin. Now, the truth is, I don't like when people do this, but I'm going to be guilty myself. So, you know, I guess it's a double standard. I usually don't like when people say, oh, I thought of a great terrace, and then I found it in, yeah. but I'm gonna be guilty of that. So I realize that the answer is very pashut. And Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Kavitz Mamarim, writes this. And that is, let's get to the bottom of it. Why did God create the world? So he said, oh, God created the world so we should learn Torah, we should shake a luv and esrog, we should blow the shofar. What does it do for God if we shake a luv and esrog? What does it do for God if we learn Torah? It gives him a kick. What does God get out of our mitzvahs? And the answer is, it's incorrect to think that Hashem created the world so we should learn Torah, we should do mitzvahs. God created the world because he's a mative. He is has beneficence, and he is beneficent. Is there such a word? And God wanted to bestow kindness upon us, and that kindness is Olam Haba. God created the world to give us the ultimate kindness of Olam Haba. Yafe sha'achas shal kairas ruach b'Olam Haba mikol chai Olam Hazeh.
Why did he create the trade for animals?
So we shouldn't eat them.
So we shouldn't eat them?
Yeah, so we shouldn't eat them. So we should get Olam Haba.
Don't create
them. Then we wouldn't get Olam Haba for not eating them, right? Avada, you pass by, you say, I wish that egg and that bacon and cheese, it's scrumptious, it's delicious. I wish I could go to McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. Somebody once asked me, Rabbi, how do you know about KFC? Because I don't go there. That's how I get, I don't go there. I get schar for not going there, even though I want to go there. It's hard to want to go there, but you get schar. Why did God create the poor? So the Gemara says that we should get Olam Haba by giving them tzedakah. So I have a question. God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Amoichel Toivus, I have a great idea. If you created us for Olam Haba, so just put us straight in the Garden of Eden. Not on Coney Island and Avenue J. The Garden of Eden, you know, the Gan Eden. Why didn't God just put us in Olam Haba? This ain't no Olam Haba. Yeah? Yeah, but you know, my name is Gladstein, not Adam and Chava. Yeah, so why didn't God put us there, you know?
She sinned and she ruined it.
But, so you mean that was, okay, so then she ruined the whole plan of creation?
Yeah.
Pashup Shad is, that's not the ultimate reward. Ultimate reward is Gan Eden Ho'elyain. So if that's the case, why didn't God just put us there? And the answer is, if God would have put us there, that would have been supporting the Democrat Party. What does that mean? It means as follows. That means everything we would have got would have been a government handout. It would be welfare. We would be in Olam Haba on welfare. It would be tzedakah. And people don't feel good when they get a freebie. People feel embarrassed. In Kabbalah, there's an expression called Nahama Dechsufa. People like to earn what they get. People don't like free gifts. People like to feel they worked hard to earn it. It's called, otherwise it would have been Nama Dechsufa. So God would have liked us to be in Olam Haba. In fact, before we were born, our souls were basking in the divine light under the Kisei HaKavod. However, there was a certain element of shame, and that is we were undeserving of such wonderful reward. So God put us down here in this world, a world of challenge, a world of difficulty, a world where the Mesillas Yesharim writes, there's not even one out of 1,000 people that say their life is smooth sailing without any difficulty and challenge. And if we fulfill the Torah and we keep the mitzvahs despite all the challenges and then we get Olam Haba, that's an Olam Haba that we would enjoy. So I realized, and Rav Chanan spells this out very clearly. You ever, if you were ever a teacher, I once taught in a high school for a short stint, and so I used to give tests. In fact, when I was in high school, I used to mark the school Chumash tests. That was a job I had. Anyway, there are two kinds of Rabbim. One kind of Rebbe, he gives, actually the three kinds. One kind of Rebbe gives a murder test, and you're lucky if you could get like a 50 on it. I once had such a Rebbe, like everybody, you know, 50 is like the high. Then you have other Rabbeim. Their tests are like a joke, you know. If you know how to spell your name, you start off with 100. So let's say you come home and you got 100, and your mother says, Nuan, what was the lowest mark in the class? The lowest mark in the class was 100. The highest mark was 370, right? You don't really feel good about it if you get 80 points for writing your name and 40 more points for writing the date. And let's say the teacher gave you a curb and you got 100, but you really got a 60, you also don't feel great about it. But if you took, you know, the physics regent and it was a murder regent and you aced it, you got a 99 and the next highest mark was 27, you feel good about it because you worked hard to get the mark, even though without any leniency. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan as follows. If God, you know why God wanted to create the world b'midas hadin? As a chesed. Because the whole point of being in this world is to earn your olam haba. So imagine if somebody earned his olam haba without any cut, without any leniency, without any curb. God didn't cut him any slack. He fulfilled everything perfectly, b'tachlis hadiktuk. So he would enjoy his olam haba much more than a guy who the only reason he deserves to get olam haba is because God is dealing with him b'midas harachamim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to create the world b'midas hadin as a chesed to us so that we should really enjoy our reward. But he saw the world couldn't exist on it, so he had no alternative. He had to give us a cut. That's Rabbi Chanan of why Hashem wanted to create the world b'midas hadin, but ultimately did not. But Marv Rabbi, so what we're going to analyze this evening is what in fact does it mean God wanted to and He didn't. God is not a human being. Human beings change your mind. Today I like chocolate. Tomorrow I like vanilla. The next day I like coffee. You know? People change their minds. People have different tastes. People have different preferences. God does not change His mind. Eino ben Adam v'yisnecham. God doesn't change His mind. So what does it mean that God wanted to create the world b'midas hadin, and ultimately He created the world b'midas harachamim? And furthermore, the Shlach HaKadosh asks, why do I need or care what, how God wanted to create the world? He didn't do it that way. So may the hava hava, of what relevance is it how God wanted to create the world? So the Shlach says as follows. Pashat Pshat, it's a metaphor. For example, there's a statement in Chazal. Shui, did you ask about this like 6 months ago maybe? That Chazal say God created many worlds and destroyed them, about the age of the universe? I don't know. Something like that, right? So Chazal say God created many worlds and He destroyed them. So some people like to interpret that. Yeah, that's the pshat in the dinosaur bones. Those are from the worlds that God created and destroyed. You ever hear that? Okay. The Shlach says it doesn't mean that. It's a metaphor. It's an analogy. It's a mashal. God did not create worlds and He didn't destroy them. God is aware of every possible outcome and eventuality. God will never change His mind. God's knowledge of every possibility is called building. And His dismissing a possibility because of an eventuality or a possible outcome is called destroying. God could have created the world in many ways. He could have created the world with people with three ears. You know, I always say you need an ear in the back of your head to find out what people are really saying about you. No? You need an eye in the back of your head. That I have already. No. But, right, you need... God could have created a person standing on his hands. God could have created a person with in millions of possible ways, and He decided not to. So God's knowing of an eventuality is called building, and His deciding and dismissing that possibility due to the eventuality is called destroying. You know what it means? God created many worlds. He created a world with one parent. He created a world with four parents, and He decided not to because it's not going to work out. So it doesn't mean God really built many worlds, and it doesn't mean He really destroyed them. His knowledge of the possibility is called binyan, and His dismissal of it is called chorban. Says the Shlah, when Chazal say that God wanted to create the world by midas hadin, and then He realized the world wouldn't work out, it doesn't mean He wanted to, and it doesn't mean He decided not to. All it means is God knew that if He were to create the world by midas hadin, it would fail, and that's why He didn't. That is, in Chazal's terminology, called He wanted to, and He changed His mind. He never wanted to, and He never changed His mind. He knew from the beginning it wouldn't work. That, in Chazal's terminology, is called He would have liked to, and He decided against it. Okay, that's the Pashup Shat. However, says the Shla, listen to me, and your soul will be given life. The Shla quotes the Gemara Menachas Daf Chav Tes. The Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went upstairs to get the Torah, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns around the various kutsim and thorns on top of the letters. So he said, God Almighty, wow, you could do whatever you want. You could tie these crowns on the various thorns on top of the letters. So God said, not true. There's a man by the name of Akiva ben Yosef, and he's going to darshan every single thorn on every single letter. And Moses said, "Nu, show him to me." So God said, "Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want to go to Rabbi Kiva Shir, you can't sit in the front row. The front row is for the big oinim. You got to go all the way to the eighth row." So Moshe Rabbeinu went to the eighth row, and he had absolutely no idea what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. Rabbi Kiva was over his head. So Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalisha Sadas, he thought he's an Am Haaretz. So Hashem said, Hashem gave him peace of mind. How's that, Rabbi? Somebody asked Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva, what's pshat in this? So Rabbi Kiva said, I don't know, there's no pshat. Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So Moshe felt better. At least, his name means something up there. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's a guy like this, and you want to give the Torah through me? Why don't you have him give the Torah? So Hashem said, shh, quiet. Kach ole b'machshava. Bug off. None of your business, basically. That's the Pashup Shat. So Hashem said, Moshe says, let me see. I see how much he learned. Let me see what his schar is going to be. So Hashem showed him to the videotape. And he showed him what? A picture of Rabbi Akiva seeing his flesh was being combed off of his body. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is the reward for those who learn Torah. Hashem said, Shesoik, quiet, kach ola b'machshav lefanai. That's what I decided. The Pashup Shah in this Gemara is, God is saying, none of your business. Don't ask these questions. I'm not telling you why I decided to do this to Rabbi Akiva. However, the Shlach HaKadosh says, this is not Pshat in the Gemara. Hashem is not dismissing the question of Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, I'm not telling you, none of your business. Hashem was explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu why this is happening to Rabbi Akiva. And that is, says the Shlach HaKadosh, the Gemara in Yevamah says, on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, we're almost there, right? On Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medakdik im ha-tzadikim kechud hasara. God is very, very exacting with the tzadikim like a hair's breadth. Why is that? Why is God so exacting with the tzadikim, says the Shlach HaKadosh? If you go into the courtyard of the king and you misbehave, it's a halbatzara. But if you go into the king's inner sanctum, that's much worse. And if you go over to the king and you start ruining his shoes, that's even worse. And if you get even closer, then the infraction is much worse. The closer you are to the king, the more severely you are dealt with. For example, there's a Mishnah in Chagiga. I think we were closer to that than the Kuf Chaf Aleph in Yevamos. In Chagiga it says, the begadim of Amei Ha'aretz are considered tamei for Prushim, and the begadim of Prushim are tamei to those who eat Shuma. And the begadim of those who eat Shuma are tamei to those who deal with the Paraduma. Meaning, the holier you are, the purer you are, the higher your standards are. So, a Parush has higher standards than an Amei Ha'aretz, and a Koyein has higher standards than a Parush, and someone dealing with the ashes of Paraduma has the highest standards of all. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, real great people, B'nai Aliyah, who their soul is rooted in the Torah before the Torah was given to this lowly world, They are on the madriga of God's original machshava. When it says the Shlach HaKadosh, that in the beginning God wanted to create the world b'midas hadin, it doesn't mean in the beginning, and it doesn't mean He changed His mind. Beginning doesn't mean beginning in time. Beginning means at the root of the world, at the shoresh of the world. Now, what does that mean, at the root of the world? There is a concept, says the Shlach, that the world began as ayin, as nothing, as spiritual matter, and it crystallized and materialized into something physical, and it spread out and it expanded and expanded and expanded. But the original root of creation, the shoresh of creation, is something which is nelam, hidden, nistar, covered over. And then what was revealed after is what is called hispashtush, a spreading out from the shoresh. In the root of the matter, in the origins of creation, in the, not the spread out part of creation. You see, what we are, we're going to come back to this in the end of this year, is we know there's a concept of 10 spheres. So God Almighty, His most holiest realm is the Olam HaAtzilus, the sphere of Keser, which is completely spiritual. And from there it trickles down to Chachma, to Bina, to Chesed, to Gevura, to Teferes, to Yesoid, to Malchus, lower, until it gets down to this world. And in this world, it's already physicalized. It's already as far as can be from the origin of creation. But at the point of origin of creation, not in time, but in concept, God created the world b'midas hadin. And for those whose neshama are on the level of God's original plan for creation, He deals with them b'midas hadin. Ribbono Shel'olam accords Himself with midas hadin for those individuals. Like the pasuk says, "Hanistarois Hashem Elokeinu." The hidden realm, a point of origin of creation, is for God b'midas hadin. The hanigalos, but the revealed part of creation, which is the olam hamasa, which is this world, Hashem had to be mishtatef midas harachamim. Now listen to this, because I may discuss it further on Friday and Shabbos. If you look carefully at the lashon of Rashi, Rashi says b'tchila ola b'machshava. Originally, it entered his thoughts. Ra'a, and God saw. Why does it say it entered his mind? And why doesn't Rashi should say it entered his mind? But he realized that it's not a good idea. It doesn't say he realized. It says he saw. Why? Because the point of origin of creation is hidden, cannot be seen. When it says God saw, says the Shlach, seeing refers to the part of the world which is spread out, nispashate, physical. God realized that in the spiritual realm, the world could exist b'midas hadin. But He saw, seeing is a reference only to the physical world. The physical world cannot exist b'midas hadin in the physical world, down here in this world. For people who have their feet in the mud and who eat hamburgers, the world cannot exist b'midas hadin, and it needs midas harachamim. But for those who are in the madrega of more of a spiritual life, they are more capable of being looked at b'midas hadin, because they are closer to the origin of creation. Now listen carefully. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, you know what God said to Moshe Rabbeinu? He said, Moshe, Shesoik, Kach Ola B'machshava. Hashem wasn't telling Moshe Rabbeinu, don't ask me about Rabbi Akiva, I'm not explaining it to you, get lost, it's none of your business. You know what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason why I'm dealing with Rabbi Akiva B'midas Hadin is, that's what entered my machshava when I originally created the world. That's what it means, Kach Ola B'machshava. Like Rashi says, God wanted to create the world B'midas Hadin. To create the world of Midas Hadin. What Hashem was telling Moshe is not bug off. Hashem was telling Moshe an explanation why he's dealing with Rabbi Akiva Midas Hadin. Because Kach Ola B'machshava. I'm dealing with Rabbi Akiva the way I plan to create the world, namely Midas Hadin. No, for everybody else who's not in the madrig of Rabbi Akiva, the world can't exist that way. But for Rabbi Akiva, he could exist in a realm of Kach Ola B'machshava. Now, You ever hear the following Gemara? Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud. Kol Dayan Shedon Din Emes La'amitoi. Any Dayan that executes the din according to the letter of the law, Ki'ilu Nase Shutof La'Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Masa Bereishis. Any Dayan who executes din according to the strict measure of the law, he becomes a partner with God in the creation of the world. You ever hear that Gemara called Dayan Shadon Din Emes Amitai Nasa Shutav LaHakadosh Baruch Hu B'Masa Bereishis? What does it mean, a Dayan that judges Emes LaAmitai as opposed to what? Emes L'Sheker? What's Emes LaAmitai? So the Shlach HaKadosh says there are two kinds of Dayanim. One kind of Dayan, there are two parties. So the two parties are sitting in front of the Dayan. And everybody's presenting their tzad. So the Dayan says, okay, party B has to pay party A $2 million. Why? Because that's a halacha. Party B says, what? It's a halacha. Oh, yeah, but we can't do that. Yeah, but you know that's what you have to do. Get out of here. You know, and lots of luck to Dayan who is applying Din Emes La'Amitai, because in this world it's very hard to apply Emes La'Amitai, because there are always two parties. So whichever party is going to be bearing the brunt of the Emes La'Amitai is not going to concede and be amenable to Emes La'Amitai. So there's another kind of judgment, and that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Zayin. The Gemara says a Dayan should use Pshara. So the Dayan says like this, pay $600,000. So party A says, what do you mean? They owe me $2 million. So the Dayan says, look, you're right, but you're not going to get it. So you might as well take this. And then he goes to the other party. The other party says, no, we don't want to pay $600,000. The Dayan says, look, what are you going to do? You're going to drag this out. It's going to end up costing you in the long run. You're going to lose your customers. You're going to lose your clients. You're going to... And the Dayan is able to sweet talk party B out of $600,000. So the truth is, nobody did the right thing. Party A didn't get what they deserved, and party B didn't give what they deserved. But at the end of the day, they're shalom, because we live in a world where you can't really apply things in their ideal form. But there are scenarios where you could apply Emes La'Amitai. For example, let's say two people find a diamond ring. So it's not like money's coming out of anybody's pocket. Nobody, if a Dayan rules in the court, you know, with one party, so the other party could swallow it, because it's not like it didn't belong to that party's wife. They found it on the beach somewhere, obviously in the winter, and nobody's going to fight it. There are certain cases where you could apply Emes La'Amitai. And in such a case, that is the highest realm of din. Again, in a typical din, it's not going to work. It's not going to be accepted, Emes La'Amitai, because one party is going to say it's too extreme. But pshara usually is more effective than Emes La'Amitai. But Emes La'Amitai is much more truthful, although it might not be as practical. Now, you know what Emes La'Amitai is like? It's like God's original plan for creation. In the realm of the hidden original plan for creation, there is Midas Hadin. In the world of actuality, it's Midas Harachmin and Midas Hadin. Any Dayan who could apply pure Midas Hadin according to the letter of the law is now becoming a partner with God in creation of the world. Because in the physical creation of the world, there is Rachamim before Din, and this Dayan is applying Din Emes La'Amitai like the original Ola B'machshava of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he becomes a partner with God in Ma'aseh Bereishis. Namely, the Dayan is applying the Machshava of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and in this world is being dealt with in general with Rachamim before Din. The Shlach HaKadosh says that with this we could answer the famous Kasha of Tosfos. Okay, with me everyone? This is a very deep shir, happens to be. One of the deepest I've ever given. What?
I heard the same concept about Sukkah.
I say it's deep, he already heard the whole thing. What?
I heard the same concept about becoming a partner
with the person. Oh, with Sukkah.
If you sit in the Sukkah.
I think I gladly gave that shir, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good. Now,
is that a Gemara or a
Mishnah? Kol ha Yoshe Besukka, Kol Abayin Asukka V'Yoshe Ba, Nasa Shutav L'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh Bereishis, is the Mahari Vayel, quoted by the Be'er Heitev. Kol Ha'omer V'Yechulu is a Gemara. Kol Ha'omer V'Yechulu is a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yates. Ayin B'Sefer, Mystery and the Majesty. Right? Okay. Available at better bookstores. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you. Good. Thank you for the good review. Give good reviews. Okay. So, famous kasha. Kasha is like this. The Gemara says, "Who's greater, Talmud Chacham or Sefer Torah?" So obviously, we know if you judge by people's reaction when a Sefer Torah comes in, everyone jumps to attention. When a rabbi walks in, you know, halavai, people would even notice. But the Gemara comments on this phenomenon. And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, why do you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham? The Gemara says that it's actually more important to stand up for a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, Mibnei loimdeha oimdim, mi paneha loy kol shekein. It's the Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. If you have to stand up for those who learn Torah, certainly you have to stand up for the Torah itself. That's the Gemara in Kedushin. So the Gemara seems to be saying that there's more of a reason to stand up for the Sefer Torah than to stand up for the Torah scholar. And then the Gemara Makos says how foolish people are because they stand up for the Torah for the Sefer Torah and they don't stand up for the Torah scholar. That implies that there's a greater reason to stand up for a Talmud Chacham than for a Sefer Torah. That's a famous stira of the Rishonim. What's greater, Talmud Chacham or Sefer Torah? We only learn out Sefer Torah from a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, if you stand up for a Talmud Chacham, certainly you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. And then the Gemara says, those who stand up for a Sefer Torah and not for a Talmud Chacham, how foolish they are. Why are they foolish? I thought there's more of a reason to stand up for a Sefer Torah than for a Talmud Chacham. So the various answers in the Rishonim, Tosfos says, well, if they stand up for a Sefer Torah, they must know the Kal V'Chomer. And the whole Kal V'Chomer is based on the fact that you have to stand up for a Torah scholar, so why aren't they? The Ran says, Avada Sefer Torah is greater. But they're foolish, because the only reason we know they're greater is from Talmid HaChamim, so why aren't they respecting Talmid HaChamim? The Shloss says like this, very Pashat. There are two Torahs. There's the Torah of the original plan of creation, the way it was Allah b'machshava, and there are Talmidei Chachamim who are rooted and able to deal with Midas HaDin. Those Talmidei Chachamim are greater than a Sefer Torah. But the Talmidei Chachamim that are sort of rooted in the Torah of after the world was given, they're of lesser stature than the Sefer Torah. Bottom line, why do I mention this? Is because even though the typical reading of Rashi is that when we say God wanted to create the world b'Midas HaDin, and we typically read it, he changed his mind and he added Midas HaRachamim. So we say, God threw Midas HaDin out the window and he doesn't deal with the world with Midas HaDin. It's not true. B'tchila doesn't mean in the beginning. It means in the place of origin of the world. In the place of origin of the world, there are still people who are able to be dealt with with the original plan of creation. So it doesn't mean mitchila originally, but it means in the root of the world. Next, another Gemara. Gemara in Chulin Daf Tevav, look at number 8. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav, every single day a baskal cries out and says, I feed the whole world in the merit of Chanina ben Doisa. And Chanina ben Doisa, he gets to eat a carob from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Do you hear what the Gemara is saying? The whole world is sustained in the merit of Chanina ben Doisa. So everyone in the world is eating hamburgers, pizza, they're eating their heart out, they're eating in restaurants. And Chanina ben Doisa, he has to eat the table, basically. He has to eat a chunk of wood. You know, he has to eat carobs. Who could eat carobs? Carobs, you have to get dental implants after you eat carobs. You go to Dr. Adler or Dr. Salmon or any good dentist. Right? Who could eat a carob? You can eat a carob? So the question is, wait a second. Well, I was giving you business. It's good. It's well known. Anything mentioned on the... What? So anyway, so the question is, the whole world... Think about Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa's merit. The whole world is eating because of him. Millions of people are eating because of Chanina ben Doisa. So if his chus is so big, why can't he feed himself? Why does he have to eat a carob? If his chus is so great that in his merit, God is able to sustain the whole world, why can't he sustain Chanina ben Doisa? So the Toiras Chaim, one of the Kadmoinim, says like this. Who is greater, the Gadol Hadar or all of Klal Yisrael put together? The answer is they're equal. Moshe, Shakol, Keneged, Kol Yisrael. They're basically equal. When God made a partnership between Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim, you know what the Ribbono Shel Olam did? You know why he did it that way? Because if he would deal with the whole world b'midas hadin, then the world couldn't exist. If he would deal in the whole world b'midas harachamim, no one would ever get punished. So Hashem had to make a partnership. And that partnership says as follows. When the world is worthy of being destroyed, so Hashem says, I'm going to give midas hadin to the Gadol Hadar. And this way midas harachamim could go to the rest of the world. So there's a concept that sometimes the Gadol Hadar takes it on the chin for all the people. So the question is, why does the Gadol Hadar get Midas Hadin and the rest of the people get Midas Harachamim? So the Taras Chaim says, because, think about it, if the world would get Midas Hadin and the Gadol Hadar would get Midas Harachamim, Hashem would have to destroy the whole world. Like Hashem said to Moshe, Heref mimeni va'ashmideim, leave go of me and I'll destroy the whole world. And I'll make you a great nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I'll take the Midas Hadin. Im kein mechinina misifracha. So the way God divvies up and divides up Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim is He puts Midas Hadin on the Gadol Hadar and He puts Midas Harachamim on the people. This way each Mida gets their chelek. Now, why does the Midas Harachamim get first pick? Midas Harachamim always gets first pick. That's why, the Taras Chaim explains, God was makdim Midas Harachamim to Midas Hadin, because if he would have first been makdim Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamim, and Midas Hadin would have got first pick, then Midas Hadin would have selected the Klal Yisrael. The Midas Hadin said, why should I eat one rabbi? I want to eat everybody. So Midas Hadin would have destroyed the whole world. So that's why Hashem was makdim Midas Harachamim to Midas Hadin. But that's the concept based on the fact, Moshe, Shakol, Keneged, Kol Yisrael. Where do we learn that from? In one place it says Moshe sent messengers. In another place it says Klal Yisrael sent messengers. From there we learn Moshe is the equivalent of all of Klal Yisrael. So even after God made this partnership of Midas Hadin and Midas Harachamim, Midas Hadin is still a very prominent force in the world, but it is sometimes used on the Tzadikim, as we quoted the Gemara in Yevamos, that Hashem is noyeg b'tzadikim k'chod hasara, and sometimes the Gadol Hadar is nispas ba'avoin hadar. But just by way of digression for a moment, the Rav Yosef Shol HaLevi Natanzan explains that this is what Chazal mean, that when Pinchas reverted God's wrath on Bnei Yisrael, so Pinchas was rewarded with brisi shalom. He was given eternal peace. And Chazal say, "Bedin hu sheyitol schara." He deserved to get his reward, bedin, and he was deserving of great kindness and reward because he reverted God's wrath on Klal Yisrael. And the Rabbi Yosef Shaul Levi Natanzan quotes the Taras Chaim. He says, "Look at the words of the Taras Chaim because his words are very sweet." And he says as follows: He says, "When Ribbono Shel Olam was angry because of the deed of Kozbi and Zimri." So what should have happened was, God should have put Midas Harachamim on Klal Yisrael, Midas Hadin on maybe Moshe or on the Gedolei Yisrael, like the Taras Chaim says. But Pinchas was successful in reverting God's wrath, so that Midas Hadin did not have to be used. So since now all that was really coming down to the world was Midas Harachamim, Pinchas deserved, as the precipitator of that Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he deserved to be the recipient of God's Midas Harachamim. So basically, Rabbi Akiva.
He took the punishment and they saved the Jews.
You mean Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim? Or in general, what happened to Rabbi Akiva?
That his skin was pulled off.
You mean.
He had to suffer something.
Right, so it's interesting. The Shlah is saying a little different than that. Yeah, you could. You could have said that what happened to Rabbi Akiva is. Rabbi Akiva is after the fact that Hashem partnered Din and Rachamim. Rabbi Akiva took the Din so the rest of the world could get the Rachamim. But that's not what the Shlah says. The Shlah says what Rabbi Akiva was receiving was God's original plan, was the root of God's original plan of creation.
You have to do something wrong. You can't
Again, lefi madregasai, yes, as we said, even something that in the inner sanctum of the king is possibly wrong, but here outside of the sanctum of the king might not be anything wrong, and we'll elaborate that as we progress. Right, so there could be such a concept. The Shlah is not saying that concept for Rabbi Akiva. He's saying it's not that Rabbi Akiva took the din so everyone else could get the rachamim. He was kach ola b'machshava. This was original machshava of creation. But what we see here, Rabbi Isai, is an interesting idea. Betchila does not mean originally. It means at the root of the matter. So now let's demonstrate another aspect where the Midas Hadin is lemaisa employed to some effect. Question. When did God create the world?
6,000 years ago.
What day of the year? We say Hayom Haras Olam, Rosh Hashanah. But we know it's Machlokes Tanaim. Rabbi Elazar says God created the world in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says in Nisan. How do we paskin? Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah says on Chav Zayin. Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. By the way, if anybody needs to take a stretch or leave, do what you got to do. It's Bereishis. There's so much to talk about. So I do need some more time. So if anybody has business to take care of or whatever, go when you got to go. Okay, but when did God create the world? Tishrei or Nisan? Yeah? So it's Machlokes Tanaim. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah says on Daf Chav Zayin, Elu ve'elu divrei lekim chayim. They're both true. They're both true. Now, how could God create the world twice? The answer is, God planned on creating the world in Tishrei, but He didn't actually create it until Nisan. The machshava to create the world was Tishrei. The lemaisa was Nisan. So I have a question. So when did Hashem lemaisa create the world? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what are we going to shul on Rosh Hashanah for? And we're getting all worked up. Today's the birthday of the world. No, it's not. Nothing happened. You know, when you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah, you know what happened on Rosh Hashanah? Historically? Nothing. Nothing ever happened on Rosh Hashanah. You know what Rosh Hashanah is? It entered God's mind to create the world. So what are we doing here in shul? We're blowing the shofar and we're getting all worked up. Kittel, yes kittel, no kittel. Long davening. Achila lakel. What's that all about? God didn't create the world on Rosh Hashanah. He created it on Nisan. Tosfos says God planned on creating the world on Rosh Hashanah, and He did create the world on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Reb Tzadok HaKohen wants to know, why do we make all the tikkunim on Rosh Hashanah and not Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Furthermore, I would add, the word Bereishis, you know what the letters unscramble the words Bereishis? Echad B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'ilam. Aleph B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'ilam. Or B'Aleph Tishrei Nivra Ha'ilam. You ever realize that? The Baal HaTurim says. The Torah begins, on the first of Tishrei, God created the world. No, He didn't. He didn't create the world on Aleph Tishrei. He created the world on Aleph Nisan. And the answer is, but He wanted to create the world on Aleph Tishrei. And He wanted to create the world B'Midas Hadin. Bereishis, Be'echad, B'Tishrei, Bara Elohim, Midas Hadin wanted to create the world. But He didn't. He actually created the world, Anisan, B'Midas Harachamim. Now, on the highest of levels, at the root of all creation, is a desire to create the world in Tishrei, B'Midas Hadin. Do you know why Rosh Hashanah is the strictest day of the year? It's the harshest day of the year, especially the first day of Rosh Hashanah, even harsher than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is much more rachamim than Rosh Hashanah. The reason is because Rosh Hashanah is a reenactment of God's original intention of creation. You hear this? Every Rosh Hashanah, every time you go to Rosh Hashanah, every time you get to Rosh Hashanah, God is going back to the original plan of creation, the way He wanted to create the world, B'Midas Hadin. That's why God judges us on Rosh Hashanah. Now, God wants the world to be B'Midas Hadin, because ultimately it's for a greater chesed than us. And does anybody know, La'asid Lavai, when Mashiach comes, the world will revert back to be B'Midas Hadin. And who are we going to paskin like? Shammai. God wants us to paskin like Shammai. It's only in this world people can't hack it, so they have to paskin like Hillel. When Mashiach comes, we're going to paskin like Shammai. But bi'echad b'tishrei nivra ha'olam. But, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, there were men who were able to deal in this world, the Midas Hadin, you know who that is? Yaakov Avinu. You know what Yaakov Avinu said? We're about to come to it. Yaakov Avinu said, V'hoya Hashem li, le'elokim. I want God to be for me as Elokim, b'midas hadin. Yaakov was on the Madrega of Adam Arisha and Kaidim Achet, where the world could subsist on midas hadin. By the way, that's why when Yaakov wanted to marry Rachel, he used a very crude language. He said, Hava esishteiva avoya leha. Give me my wife and I'm going to come to her. So Rashi says, even the lowest of people don't speak that way. And Rabbeinu Bechai explains, Yaakov, on his Madrega, he was on the Madrega of Kaidim Nechit, where there was no busha, there was no shame, because there was no sin associated with it. So Yaakov Avinu was on the Madrega of Mitchila Allah B'machshava. That's why Yaakov Avinu said, V'hoya Hashem Lilei Loikim. So every Rosh Hashanah, the original plan of creation comes back, namely the desire to create the world of Midas Hadin. That's why God judges us. And every year in Rosh Hashanah, we get closer and closer and closer to the ultimate plan of creation, namely to bring the world back to Midas Hadin. So basically what we've done is we've shown two illustrations where the Midas Hadin is employed even besoif. One is great tzaddikin, and number two is on certain times of the year, namely Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now, watch this. Yaakov Avinu. Look at number 14. Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lema. By the way, who in Parshas Bereishis had the most difficult life of anybody? Yaakov. Esav wants to kill him. He has to run away from home. He has to live with Uncle Lavan. Esav wants to kill him again. Then Yosef is taken from him. Then Binyamin is taken from him. Then Shimon is taken from him. And then Dina is violated. Yaakov, tsaras, tsaras, tsaras. Why is Yaakov dealt such a harsh blow? Says the Sfarno, an amazing thing. The Sfarno says, look at number 14. Yaakov made a vow. He said, if God will be with me, and He guards me on the road that I'm going, and He gives me bread to eat, and a garment to wear, and I return to my father's house, V'haya Hashem li le'elokim. God will be to me as Elohim. The Sfarno translates this in two dimensions. One is Yaakov Avinu is saying, God will be to me as Elohim. God will be the arbiter and the decider that I am committing myself to serve Him, believe Shalem, with my full maximum ability. And Yaakov Avinu says, God, I am a kabel on myself from now on, that Kael, who is Merachim, should be to me as Elohim and deal with me b'midas haracha, amidas hadin. Yaakov Avinu was makabel upon himself. You know, we always daven, v'sisnai gimonu b'midas harachamim. Yaakov Avinu said and committed himself, God, I am subjecting and applying myself to the midas hadin. So Rabbi Huda Cooperman, in his footnotes on the Sfarno, says, this is literally one of the most important pieces of information in Sefer Bereishis. Because remember in Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu says, later on in Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu is, Yaakov Avinu is afraid when Esav is coming. So the Mefarshim ask, why was he afraid? God promised he would guard him. And Chazal say, Yaakov was afraid, Shema Yigrom Achet. What do you mean, Shema Yigrom Achet? God promised he would protect him. But Rav Cooperman explains, based on the Sfarno, yeah, God promised he would protect him. That's when God was dealing with him b'midas harachamim. But now Yaakov Avinu accepted upon himself that Hashem should deal with him b'midas hadin. So all bets are off. Maybe he's going to be subject now to midas hadin, and he's going to be dealt a very harsh blow. Says Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein, something out of this world. He says, in the name of the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav Moshe Chevroni, that this perhaps explains why Yaakov was subject to more tsarais than anybody else in Bereishis. You know why? Because he accepted upon himself Midas Hadin, and therefore he was dealt with so severely. Can we suggest, and if I come back to this parashas Vayishlach, hopefully it will be okay, that we know who else was dealt a very harsh blow. We already discussed him in the beginning of the shir. Who was dealt with kach ola b'machshava? Who was dealt the blow of the way God originally intended to create the world? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. So when Yaakov accepted upon himself Midas Hadin, Vayida Yaakov Yelakim Yimadi, that was applied for Yaakov Avinu, and that was also applicable for Rabbi Akiva. How do we know Rabbi Akiva is from Yaakov? The Arizal says, Midei Avir Yaakov, the Oisir is Avir Yaakov is Rabbi Akiva. So we're seeing a number of interesting things. Even though the words of Rashi are, God's original plan for creation is to create the world, B'midas Hadin, that doesn't mean the original and it's not the final. There are tzaddikim that Hashem deals with them, B'midas Hadin. There are days of the year where the Midas Hadin is employed because that was the day of the original plan of creation. And there are individuals that have accepted upon themselves the Midas Hadin, namely Yaakov Avinu.
Abraham went through Tandis Yainis. That's much tougher than what Yaakov went through.
Avraham had Tandis Yainis, right. But
much tougher.
We don't find that Avraham had Sarois. The Chazal say, refer to Yaakov Avinu's life as the tzaros of Yaakov Avinu. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, we're going to just do a bit more, and then we'll have to have a part two. And that is as follows. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah on Gimel Amud Beis, God splits up the world into four parts. The first part of the first splits up the day into four parts. The first part of the day, God learns Torah. The second part of the day, God judges the world, and then He sees the world has to be destroyed. So what does God do? God sits on the Kisei Rachamim. The next part of the day, God feeds the world. The next part of the day, God plays and toys with the Leviathan. That's God's schedule. So if you needed to know what Hashem's schedule is, the Seder Ayom is, He learns Torah the first 3 hours, next 3 hours He judges, next 3 hours He feeds, and the last 3 hours He toys with the Leviathan. Fine. The Gemara asks, is this din harsh or is this din not harsh? So the Gemara says there are two dinim. One din is from the Torah, and that is harsh, and one din is mixed din and rachamim. So you see that there are, even lamaisa, even after the fact, even once the world was created, two dinim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the din that emanates from the Torah, and that din does not really have any slack, and does not really have any leniency, and does not really have any rachamim to it. And then there is a din, and that din applies even today, even after God has been mishtatef, midas harachem, to midas hadin. There's still a place for midas hadin even today. So here's what we're going to do. Hopefully, I'm going to tell you one more idea, and then we're going to have Maariv. And for the real diehards, there'll be 10 minutes after Maariv. But this way, you know.
When does
God be mezavik zivugim?
Yes.
Ben hazmanim. I don't know. Okay, so the final idea comes from the Sfas Emes. And that is, Sfas Emes wants to know, Rashi says, in the beginning God wanted to create the world, but He saw the world couldn't exist, so He joined Amidas HaRachamim. So basically, what does Bereishis Bara Elokim mean? God wanted to create the world, Amidas HaDin. Yeah, but it doesn't say that in the Chumash. It says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, God did create the world, Amidas HaDin. Nice pshat, Rashi. Rashi's saying what God wanted to do, but that's not what the Chumash says. The Chumash says what God did. Furthermore, did God change His mind? Says the Sfas Emes. No. This is a critical guidance to man, and that is, yes, when God created the world, He created it with Midas Rachamim and Midas Hadin together. But it's very important to know how God wanted to create the world. You know why? Because how should we want to approach mitzvahs? How should you want to daven? The answer is you should want to daven with every ounce of energy you have, with every bit of focus you have, with complete richuz hamachshava, focusing your mind on every single word. That's how you should want to daven. How should you want to put on tefillin? That it should be exactly in the right place, not diverting your mind from it at all, and fulfilling every punctilious halacha. A Jew should want to fulfill everything perfectly according to the letter of the law. The same way God wanted to create the world, the Midas Hadin, why do I need to know how God wanted to create the world? Because God really did create the world that way. In that, we should emulate Hashem in the way we approach Torah Mitzvahs. We should want to fulfill everything in the idyllic, perfect state. So, even if in reality, by the time we get up to the fourth word of Shemoneh Esrei, our mind is already in, you know, Nebraska, and by the time we get up to the seventh word, it's already in outer space, and by the time you're up to the second bracha, you're not even sure if you're davening Shachris, Mincha, or Maariv, fine. That's because once we do something, then we have to realize it's not going to be perfect. We're human beings. It's not going to be perfect. We have to combine Midas HaRachem and Midas HaDin. But in terms of how you should Ola B'machshava and approach a mitzvah, it needs to be approached B'midas HaDin, that it should be performed in the exact perfect way. In other words, you shouldn't want somebody to tell you, okay, it's okay if it's watered down. No. You need to know. I remember I once went to a Victor Miller, so somebody once asked somebody who came with me, why do you go there? You're not going to do everything he says. It's so strict. And the person gave a brilliant answer. The answer is, it doesn't matter. A Jew has to know the right way to be. And whether you do it or not, that's a separate avodah. The first avodah is, you need to know how you should want to be. And then hopefully one day you'll get there. But if you water things down, then you're not emulating Hashem in Metchila Allah B'machshav L'Brayso B'midas HaDin. By the way, that, I believe, is the Sfas Emes, is the Sfarno. This Sfas Emes is exactly what the Sfarno is saying. The Sfarno is saying that when Yaakov Avinu accepted upon himself Midas Hadin, it doesn't just mean he accepted God to deal with him harshly and very strictly. What it means is, when Yaakov accepted Midas Hadin, look at the Sfarno. The Sfarno says in number 15, Yaakov accepted that I will serve God b'chol koichi. You know what it means to accept the Midas HaDin? That I'm going to serve Hashem when I'm about to daven Shemoneh Esrei right now, I'm going to invest every ounce of internal energy and focus I have. Now, it might not do that. I might run out of steam quite quickly, but at least I'm committing to give it my all. That's what it means to accept the Midas HaDin, not just to accept God's dealing harshly with a person, but accepting Midas HaDin is the desire to want to serve Hashem, the Midas HaDin. So it comes out, Rabbi Isai, there are a number of aspects that even though the words of Chazal is God wanted to create the world of Midas HaDin, so one would think, okay, but He didn't. It's not true that He didn't. He actually did in many ways. For tzaddikim, He did. For those who are makabel upon themselves, He did. For the way we should go about and embark on Avodas Hashem, we need to emulate God's original plan for creation, Metchila Ratzo Lebroso B'Midas Hadin. And as we see, there are times during the day that Ribbono Shel Olam does employ, in fact, Din La'amitai, and called Dayin Shadon Din Emes La'amitai. It becomes a shut of Lakhosh Baruch Hu b'masa bereishis. Okay, so we're gonna call it a share over here. If anybody wants to hear Dvarim Ha'im Din Beruma Shel Olam after Maariv, then come at your own risk. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Shkoyach, Kol Tov. The Zoom, we will attempt to leave it on if that's possible, and you could join us in 15 minutes or so. Shkoyach. Baruch Tia. Okay, so just some final thoughts on this Rashi. Rashi says, in the beginning, God wanted to create the world. So as we mentioned, that this is not just speaking about the beginning in terms of time, but even beginning means the root of creation. At the source of creation, God still deals with the world with Midas HaDin. And then as the world, so to speak, materializes and moves further away from the source of creation, Hashem has to join up Midas HaRachem and Midas HaDin. So I just want to end off by sharing with you the approach of the Avi Nachal. The Avi Nachal is Rav David Ivshitz, the author of the Levushei Srod on the Magen Avraham. If you go to Tzvas, in a cave, the Rav David Ivshitz is buried right near the Basayin, Ram Avrish of the Basayin. And the Avi Nachal also is bothered. What do Chazal mean? that in the beginning God wanted to create the world with Midas Hadin, and Hashem switched it and He joined Midas HaRachman together with it. In the world, if somebody wants to do something and then does it differently, it could be one of two reasons. Either he got tired out and he wore out, or he just realized it's not a good idea, but neither of those are possibilities for God. God doesn't tire, He doesn't wear out, and God would not realize something would not be a good idea because whatever, if it wasn't a good idea, He would have known the whole time it was not a good idea. So what does it mean, betchila? So the Arvei Nachah, like the Shla also says, the kavana doesn't mean betchila before, in time, because Hashem is above time. Koida means on the highest realm. And let's explain as follows. We know when God created the world, how did He create the world? He didn't bring a hammer. He didn't bring a wrench. He didn't bring tools. He said, "Vayomer Elokim." So when God says Yehi Ar, there is Ar. When God says Yehi Rakia, when He says the word Yehi Rakia, so everything was created with His words. So now, if you could create with words, then when God thinks, it also creates. So the Chazal say it entered God's mind to create the world with Midas Hadin. Then He created the world with Midas Hadin. But it's a lower level than speaking, it's thinking. So it must be on a very subtle and spiritual level, the highest level of creation, the uppest, the most highest world, God deals with Midas Hadin. That's why on Rosh Hashanah we say the Malachim are trembling, all the angels are always trembling, because on the highest world, God deals with Midas Hadin. But then the world trickles down until it materializes, it becomes physical. And in our physical world, God created this world, that He deals with this world, b'midas harachamim. If He would deal with mankind, b'midas hadin, we wouldn't last an hour. But in the highest realm, mitchila means the highest realm of existence. Very similar to what the Shla HaKadosh says. Because just as God created with speech, He likewise created with thought. Now, on the words Bereshis Bara Elokim, Targum Yonasan says Bechachmasa, in His Machshava. So with Chachma, which is the most subtle level of creation, God utilized Midas Hadin, and therefore the highest realm of the world is operates Midas Hadin. Now this is Mamish Oyem Menorah. Many times in Chazal it says, if you do X, Y, and Z, it's like you murdered someone. Like it gives very somewhat exaggerated terminology, like somebody who is walking on the road and he's in the middle of learning and he stops and he admires a tree, it's like you're liable to the death penalty, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos. Or we have many statements in Chazal, you know, if you embarrass someone, it's like you killed. Very, very extreme statements, so it seems to us. The terminology Chazal uses, Male Olav HaKasav, the Torah considers it as if. You know what that means? That means in this world it's not considered that way. But in the highest realm, in the world of Machshava, in the most spiritual realm of existence, there, the slightest sin is exaggerated and much more severe. But in this world, in this physical world, it's not as severe. It doesn't mean you're allowed to, and it doesn't mean it will go unpunished. But Mala Olav HaKasav means that in the highest realm, in the realm of Bereshis, in the realm of Chachma, in the realm of the world that was created with mere thought, that world, it's considered as if He did. Now, this is one of literally the most exhilarating teachings that the Arvei Nachal discusses many, many places, and that is based on the Sefer HaYetzirah. Ready for this? There are three levels of dimension. It's called Ashan, Olam, Shana, Nefesh. There is what exists in place, exists in time, and exists in a person. That means there are three parallel levels of existence. There's place, oilam, there's time, there's shana, and there's nefesh, they're people. So let's talk about place. Where did God create the world from? What is the first place that God created the world? From there the whole world was founded, the Gemara says in Yuma Nundadam Abez, the Kachay HaKadoshim, the Eben HaShasiyah. That place is like the Olam HaMachshava. The same way, the highest place of spiritual existence, God deals with Midas HaDin. The original spot of creation on this world is a Makam of Din. That is the Holy of Holies. any slight avera there is very severe. If a Kohen Gadol went in and he wasn't perfect, he would die. And then the next level of existence is the Heichal, and the next level is the Azara, and the next level is Har Habayis. And there are 10 levels. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. The Mishnah says there are Eser Kedushais. And the lowest level is Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, the Torah says, don't sin there, or the land will expectorate you. In a place of Kedusha, it can't tolerate infraction. That's why if people sin in Israel, the land vomits them out. However, in America, though, nothing happens. That's why, you know, the Torah says that if you violate certain averos, you chayv karis. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, people lived in Israel, if they did certain sins, they would just drop dead. And in Chutz La'aretz, nothing would happen to them. Because the closer you are to the Makom of Din, to the original spot of creation, which was Metchila Allah B'Machshav L'Rosh B'Minas HaDin, there is no Rachamim, and there God deals harsher. So there, let's say, there's a Makom of Din in this world, that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and a little bit less is the Kodesh, a little bit less is Azar, a little bit less is the Mikdash and the Har HaBayis and Eretz Yisrael. That is this level in terms of place. Now let's talk about time. The same way there are 10 levels of Kedusha, there are 10 days of Kedusha. What's the harshest day of the year? First day, Rosh Hashanah. That Rizal says is Dinei Kasha, is harsh judgment. We stand in judgment. God deals very harshly. That Rizal says anyone who's judged on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is dealt with harshly. If you're judged on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it's more Barachamim. And on Yom Kippur, God can have so much rachamim that even a Beinani could be Zoche B'din. So the same way in the upest, the highest sphere of heaven, if somebody merits to, so to speak, be rooted there, there's no tolerance. So too, in the holiest spot of this world, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no tolerance. And in the holiest day, which is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, is very strict judgment. On the second day, there's more tolerance. That's why in halacha, during the 10 days of tshuva, one is not allowed to eat the bread of a akum, pas palter. So if you like Arnold's OU bread, great, but you don't eat it during the 10 days of repentance. So the question is, if it's kosher, you should be able to eat it, and if it's not kosher, don't eat it the whole year. The answer is, it's pretty good, it's kosher. But in those 10 days, that's in like the Madrega of Bereshis Bar Leikim, the original plan of creation to deal very harshly. The same way in the highest heavens, you can't have even the slightest infraction. In those 10 days of repentance, what you eat has to be absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. And therefore, those 10 days, first day of Rosh Hashanah corresponds to Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those 10 days correspond to the 10 Kedushais. And it's the same thing in people. Those on a low level, God deals is very tolerant with them. God tolerates them. God deals with them berachamim. The higher you raise your neshama, the more the neshama is capable of being dealt with b'midas hadin, the more God deals with the person b'midas hadin. And the Arvei Nachal basically ends off that a rasha, after he receives his punishment, let's say in the Gehenna, and his neshama is purified, so now his neshama could be elevated, and God could, in fact, deal with the person, b'midas hadin. So tonight we learned that even though the words of Chazal are, in the beginning God wanted to create the world, b'midas hadin, the beginning doesn't mean in the beginning. It means, like the Shlach says, at the root of creation, in the makam which is Nelam, in the makam which is Nistar, is a makam that Sadiqim are rooted, and God does deal with the Rabbi Akiva, b'midas hadin. As we said, Yaakov Avinu was makabel upon himself that he should be dealt with in that way. We also said that sometimes the tzaddik, even after God uses rachamim, he takes the din on himself so that the rest of the world could take rachamim. We learned that there are certain days of the year where they revert back to the original plan of creation, namely Rosh Hashanah, and that's why Rosh Hashanah is a day of din. And on Rosh Hashanah, God, so to speak, every year moves closer and closer and closer to revert the world back to being Midas HaDin, the Madrega of Yaakov, who was like on Adam HaRishon before the Chet. And we learned that the Sfas Emes understands that the concept that in the beginning God created the world with Midas HaDin is teaching us that we should at least approach mitzvos and Torah with the desire to want to perform them with Midas HaDin. And then finally, that realm of the world, of Midas Hadin, which is in the highest spheres of the heaven, the most spiritual planes, has a corresponding spot on earth, the Kadosh HaKadoshim, corresponding daily Yer Rosh Hashanah, and corresponding souls, namely the great Tzaddikim. That's what it means that Male Olav HaKosav, there are places in the world where Hashem treats it as if you fulfilled certain areas. Hashem treats it as if you committed an egregious sin, because in that realm, Hashem deals with Midas Hadin. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, thanks for sticking to it. And Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully on Friday, we should have some more exciting information. Agata Nacht, Kol Tov.
Be well. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Good night, good night, good night. Please, yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.